Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are going to continue this morning, Canto 10, Chapter 38, and we completed Text 5, so we're going to begin with Text 6. And I'm happy to report to you I have further clarity on a question that Sanchari asked some time ago, having to do with what she learned in classical dance class. Classical dance class follows a text which is called Natya Shastra. Natya, dancing. Natya Shastra. And in their Natya Shastra class, they learn that there's 9 rasas. Just a little history. Where does that Natya Shastra come from? Everything originally comes from the Vedas, so just a little history. This is now Radha Krishna Prabhu from Houston. I believe it's from his having studied what Tamal Krishnamurti did as far as writing dramas, and his study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. In any case, wherever the source is, there's a chronology or history of the Vedic literature presents science on everything. And one of the things it presents science on is drama and dance and cultural activities like that. So, according to Radha Krishna's research here, given within the Vedas by Lord Brahma, there are 8 rasas. So that ancient Vedas say that. And then along came Bharata Muni. Bharata Muni, there's not exactly clear when he lived, but it ranges sometime around the life of Christ, so some couple few hundred years before Christ or after Christ, sometime in that time frame is when he lived. And he wrote extensively on that science, the science of dance, studying, commenting, and after careful evaluation, he added rasa number 9. Rasa number 9 that he added, there was some controversy, but eventually became accepted, was Shanta. So in his list of 9, there's Shanta and Madhurya. It says Shringara, but so it's Madhurya Rasa. And you just take away 2 from the 9, and there's secondary rasa, 7. So his list of 9 is 7 secondary, according to our perspective. Rupa Goswami's perspective, 7 secondary rasas. Then, some passage of time, nearly 1,000 years plus, comes Rupa Goswami, and under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was instructed in the science of devotional service, and instructed to write about the science of devotional service. So, Rupa Goswami's revelation is the essence of all rasa is prema rasa. Prema rasa. And Rupa Goswami explained that there are 5 primary rasas within prema rasa and 7 secondary rasas within prema rasa. But it's all resting on bhakti rasa. Bhakti rasa. I said prema rasa. Bhakti rasa. So, now I'm going to just share another resource, which is Dhanadhar Swami. Some of you may know him. He wrote a book on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and studied it very deeply. And so the conclusion from him is, yes, the 9 from Bharata Muni is incomplete. It's actually 12. And Bhakti Rasa is the original Rasa, Rupa Goswami's teaching, and that teaching is perfectly in accord with Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti Rasa is the original Rasa. And, of course, Rupa Goswami looked at Bharata Muni's work and the Vedic texts, and he concluded that in the spiritual world, this Bhakti Rasa has 5 described in the Bhagavatam, and thus within the spiritual world, there are 5 primary. So in addition to Shanta and Shringara or Madhurya, he expressed in his writings the other 3. So you add 9 plus 3, you get 12. So a little bit about how this works. Bhakti rasa is the essence. They are expressed through 5 primary rasas, and the other 7 are, there's different terminology, secondary rasa, reflections, indirect, those are other terms that are sometimes used by commentators. They're reflections of the 5 primary. For example, this is Dhanadhar Maharaj. The secondary rasa of hasya, or humor, is a powerful emotion, but it's actually either in friendship or a conjugal love that's indirectly experienced through humor, but it's resting on the primary friendship or conjugal. And, for example, so there's rasa-basa, or inappropriate mixtures of rasas or humors. He gives this example. It's really easy to understand. Some, in the positive, one may be joking with his friends and enjoying hasya or laughter, but actually he's relishing friendship through the medium of joking with his friends. On the other hand, if you see a brahmachari and young lady enjoying humor together, while it may be a great joke, but actually it's sex life enjoyed indirectly through joining. Then finally, actually only the 5 primary rasas are experienced in full. The secondary ones are just the experience of the 5 indirectly through other powerful emotions that are so powerful they seem to be a rasa in themselves, but actually they are experience of one of the primary rasas indirectly. That's Dhanadhar Swami. So, a little more clarity on the topic we were discussing. So now I'm going to go forward with text number 6, 1038-6. This is part of a series of 22 verses spoken by Akrura as he is experiencing Sanchari Bhav. He's experiencing ecstatic emotion in anticipation of meeting Krishna. And just reflecting. So we're hearing his thoughts revealed by Shukadeva Goswami. So this is another rasa, speaking with confidence. Today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated. He hasn't seen Krishna yet, but he's anticipating. And my birth has become worthwhile since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, becoming more certain, he spoke with confidence. So more certain means there was a humility one, there was an argument one, and so forth. Now comes, Jiva Goswami says, pride, which is another Sanchari Bhav. He speaks with pride. The Sanskrit term is garva. Another Sanchari Bhav. And certainty. All his obstacles will be destroyed by seeing the Lord, because by the Lord's appearing and the strength of his mercy, he will directly offer respects to the Lord's lotus feet. Although even the yogis can just meditate on those feet without directly seeing them. And those are the feet of the Lord who reveals unlimited powers, Bhagavataha, or Krishna. Sanatana Goswami writes, my low status has been removed today by the Lord's great mercy. My bad karma, amangalam, has been removed today. I will offer respects to the Lord, whose lotus feet are the object of meditation for persons desiring liberation. I will directly offer respects to those feet. This displays the Lord's unlimited power. Though foot is in the singular, it implies both feet, since they are always together. Or the singular indicates his bowing down slightly. By that, his whole inauspicious existence has been destroyed. And text number 7. Akura says, or thinks, indeed, today Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world. Simply by the effulgence of his toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. There's a verse, one of Rupa Goswami's Namastakam, the very first of Namastakam, speaks the same, the effulgence from the toenails of the Lord. So he didn't just, it's like it's a nice poetic image, but it's directly from the Bhagavatam. Simply by the effulgence of his toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. And here's the BBT purport, very short. Akura noted how ironic it was that the envious, demoniac Kamsa had given him an extraordinary blessing by sending him to see the Supreme Lord Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, though I have been sent to do things unfavorable to the Lord by Kamsa, for me this has been very favorable. Amazingly, though Kamsa is a rascal, today he has been merciful to me because he sent me to Krishna. Previously, such persons as Ambarish were delivered from the material world by one ray of those feet. Akura thought, furthermore, even though I have been ordered to do this by Kamsa, who hates Krishna, I have actually gotten a very favorable result. Amazingly, even though Kamsa is an envious rascal, today he has been especially merciful to me because he has sent me to see Krishna. Previously, such persons as Ambarish were delivered from the material world by one ray of the effulgent lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So, it's very similar. Jiva Goswami writes, with astonishment, that's one of the secondary rasas, by the way, he speaks of the future mercy of the Lord. Though Kamsa is most cruel, he has shown mercy to me. It would be impossible for Krishna to show mercy without the mercy of the Lord. So Kamsa was empowered. Empowered to give Krishna his mercy. Well, that isn't what he was thinking. Okay. That mercy was my being his dear minister. There was all this discussion, or a number of times discussion about how could a pure devotee stay in the service of such a bad person who hated Krishna. By his doing that, Krishna empowered Kamsa, because otherwise how could it happen for one to give mercy of Krishna? He empowered Kamsa to give that mercy to Akura. Of course, he could have just gone on his own without Kamsa saying, go ahead and do it. Sent by him, I will see the lotus feet of the Lord, who takes away all inauspiciousness, Hare, and has now appeared, who has appeared at this time for showing mercy to all people, Kritavatarasya. By just a slight appearance or ray from the disc of his toenail, some had previously crossed samsara. By bhakti alone, what to speak of other types of worship they may have performed for him. This indicates that the human-like form of Krishna is eternal, and all other forms are included in it. And then here's Sanatan Goswami repeating some of the same messages. Kura describes the symptoms of the Lord's mercy. Sent by him, I will see the lotus feet of the Lord who takes away all inauspiciousness, Hare, and has now appeared at this time for showing his nature as Bhagavan, Kritavat Arasya. By just a slight appearance or ray from the disc of his toenail, by a little bhakti, some have previously crossed samsara. And then he directly quotes Maharaj Ambarish with this famous beginning line, Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayo Vacham Sivaikunta Gunana Varnane, etc. Maharaj Ambarish translation, Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna, his words in describing the glories of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the Lord's temple, and his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. Ninth Canto, Chapter 4. Ambarish, with bhakti to Krishna, followed such persons. If such persons cannot fix their mind on Krishna, Krishna has now come as an avatar. Or he whose previous avatars delivered people from darkness has now come as the avatari. Directly, I'll say it again. he whose previous avatars delivered people from darkness has now come as the avatari directly. I can see his lotus feet. And the last part, tamaha, can also refer to ignorance, the root of bad thoughts for people desiring liberation. Previously, devotees who were also sages surpassed the insurmountable root of bad desires by the effulgence of the Lord's toenails. Then comes a long concluding part. This is Jiva Goswami from Krishna Sandarbha. Krishna Sandarbha. He quotes, he starts this particular section or anuchet by making reference to Krishna has appeared in the prison house of Kamsa. So the prayers of Devaki and Vasudeva to Krishna. This is 10.3.28 translation. It is true that the four-armed form of the Lord, it is true that the four-armed form is the Lord, but Devaki said that this form should become invisible. That's Jiva Goswami's rendering. Here's the BBT, this is Prabhupada, of the whole verse. My Lord, because you dispel all the fear of your devotees, I request you to please save us and give us protection from the terrible fear of Kamsa. Your form is Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appreciated by yogis in meditation. Please make this form invisible to those who see with material eyes. That's Prabhupada's translation. In response, a few verses later, the Lord replies, I have shown you this form so that you will remember my previous appearances before you. You would not understand my birth if I appeared in my human-like form. Then he goes to two verses from Canto 3, Chapter 4. And Jiva Goswami explains, the human form, which he has accepted, Krishna, appears to cover his real form. Bhagavatam says, Hadir api tasyaja akritim tri adisha. And because so this is 3.4.28, 3.4.29, indicating that he gave up his form as Krishna. He's going down this path of saying, which is the original form, four-armed or the two-armed? So she's saying, Devaki's saying, conceal this four-armed form. And in these verses, it's described by Shukadeva Goswami, by Maitreya. At the end of the pastimes of the Lord of the three worlds, Sri Krishna, and after the disappearance of the members of the Vrishni and Bhoja dynasties, who were the best of the great commanders, why did Uddhava remain alone? Shukadeva Goswami replies, my dear king, the cursing of the brahmanas, that's Pravas Kshatra thing, the brahmanas cursed, you'll be destroyed by that lump of iron. The cursing of the brahmanas was only a plea, but the actual fact was the supreme desire of the Lord. He, Krishna, wanted to disappear from the face of the earth after dispatching his excessively numerous family members. He thought to himself as follows. So, the disappearance of his form is the topic here. And then he's going to speak something that sounds like, yeah, the original form is the four-armed Vishnu form. Then he'll refute it. The disappearance according to the version of Tantra Bhagavat cannot be accepted. The following statement supports the idea that the form of Krishna is temporary, which he's already disagreed with. But here's what the point that he's disagreeing with says. Regarding both burdens equally, this is Bhagavatam 115, 34, 35. Regarding both burdens equally, the Lord separated himself from that portion of the Yadus by which he removed the burden of the earth, like removing a thorn with another thorn. Just as the Lord maintains form such as much and gives them up, and just as a magician makes a show of giving up his body, the Lord made a show of giving up his body by which he relieved the burden of the earth. And he's going to explain all this. In 10th canto, chapter 80, Vasudev, Krishna's father, then we're in Dwarka now, says, while still in the maternity room, he's speaking to Krishna, while still in the maternity room, that's like the prison house, you told us that you, the unborn Lord, had already been born several times as our son in previous ages. After manifesting each of these bodies to protect your own nature, you, unaffected like the sky, then withdrew them. O supremely glorified, all-pervading Lord, who can understand your spiritual abode? And he goes on, Jiva Goswami, but there's another meaning to the word spoken. Since it is said that Krishna sometimes manifests forearms and sometimes two arms, they should be considered non-different. In relieving the earth of her burden, the two are equal. The last verse quoted also speaks of his forearm form being made unmanifest, and thus even Vishnu would be temporary if something is manifest and no longer manifest and it's a temporary instead of an eternal form. That logic would, if it applies to this, it applies to that. So that he withdrew doesn't mean it's material. The form of the Supreme Entity, the form of the Supreme Entity is accomplished by qualities like eternality, confirmed by words of realization of the wise. The qualities are described in Bhagavat Sandarbha, that's his own writing. The qualities, the spiritual, we read this long, extensive discussion about Krishna's qualities and how they're spiritual. So he's not going to repeat all that, just saying over there, we talked about it. The qualities of Bhagavan, Krishna, they're fully spiritual, described in Bhagavat Sandarbha, usually using the human form. Thus, that this form is eternal is strongly confirmed by the testimony of the wise who directly perceived the Lord. An example of a statement by a realized person is given. Quote, Canto 6, Chapter 8, Text 20. May Lord Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day, and may Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. I think that's the Narayan Kavacha prayers. It's spoken by Daksha. Now, other examples are given. His eternal nature is stated. Hey, that's this morning's verse. Today, Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of the Lord who takes away all inauspiciousness of he who has now appeared in this world. Simply by the effulgence of his toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and attained the Lord. So if his feet can do that, they're not material. And then the next verse after this morning's verse, those lotus feet are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and all other devatas, by Lakshmi and her associates, and by the devotees in this world, as well as the followers of Pancharatra, that's deity worship. Upon those lotus feet of the Lord, he walks about the forest while herding the cows with his companions, and those feet are smeared with the kumkum of the gopis' breasts. That's tomorrow morning's verse, which we'll get to tomorrow. What is hinted at in the first verse, that's of these two, this morning's verse, is described in the second verse, in the last two lines. That is the form of Krishna, and that human form is eternal. Krishna speaks these verses. Well, he's not speaking them, he is thinking them. But that's okay. So, aside from the rasa discussion at the beginning, we're hearing Jiva Goswami explain that the form of Krishna is fully spiritual. We're also hearing, because that form of the Lord has in the past delivered mystic yogis who just meditate on the rays of his feet, the rays of his toenails. So his form is spiritual. He's anticipating becoming fully cleansed by seeing the feet. He does more than that. The Lord embraces him. But, you know, so... His mood, the secondary rasas that he's experiencing, they're changing. The ones for today are astonishment and pride. It's very fluid. I mean, it starts with humility, then wait a minute, and then mercy has coming, and comes as the dispenser of that mercy. Isn't that amazing? Astonishment. And pride, a transcendental kind of pride. My life will be successful. He's saying as if it already happened. My life is successful. My existence is successful. Be nice to be able to say that, wouldn't it? My low status has been removed today by the Lord's great mercy. You know, just short while before, he was, I'm unworthy. But my humility, my low status, and thus my humility has been removed by the Lord's great mercy. So he, being merciful, can bestow his mercy even on the unqualified persons. That's our hope, isn't it? And when is that, where is that Vaishnava who considers themselves worthy? The only example that I can think of, there's probably some others, but there's a nice section in the life of Ramanujacharya where disciple Govinda is demanding special attention and, you know, praise. And Ramanujacharya comes to hear about it, and it happens more than once. So he comes to him and says, what happened? you know our Vaishnava teachings. And he then says, this is just because I have received some mercy so that glorification is appropriate. It goes to you. And therefore it should come because of your greatness. It's something like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's description of, on an occasion of Vyasa Puja, sitting on a big seat and saying things like, you know, his very special language, I can't remember the exact way he said it, but some people may be thinking, look at this animal, this big buffoon. He's, you know, sitting on a big seat and having people praise him. And so something wrong with this person. Envious people will think like that. Anyway, but the unqualified person receives that it's meant for them, and the qualified person understands it's meant for those who have given mercy to an unqualified person. That's the transparency. That when there's false ego, things stick. When there's transparency, it doesn't. Whether it's, you know, praise or the opposite, being put into difficulty. Just this morning I was listening to Prabhupada speaking about how Krishna appreciates those who are engaged in taking the message of Bhagavad Gita and presenting to others. And he was explaining, one who does this takes great risks. And the risk can be physical harm. And he speaks of Christ was crucified. For what? You're speaking the message of God. And Lord Nityananda was bonked in the head by Jaghai and Madhai for doing what? Inviting them to chant the holy name. And, you know, of course the list goes on. Prahlad Maharaj was threatened to be killed by his father for what? Because he spoke of the glories of Vishnu. Haridas Thakur. So, but one who is prepared to take those risks, as far as Krishna is concerned, this was his message this morning I was hearing. There's risks. Of course, there's risks doing anything. There is doing nothing. There's risks. But taking a risk on behalf of the Lord to give, which will stir the hearts and the minds of inimical people. I mean, very quickly, you'll have an understanding of who your friends aren't. We all have that experience. You become a devotee, and all the people, not all the people, many of the people who were friends, they recoil. And they're no longer friends. Because what was that friendship? What was the friendship between them and you and you and them? It wasn't friendship. It was, you scratch my back, I scratch your back, and that's what our friendship is. You have your needs, and I see to your needs, and I have my needs, and you see to my needs, and that's our friendship. That's not friendship. So what to speak of, then people become inimical. Both Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta revealed that in Bhakti Vinod Thakur's life, at least on two occasions, there was attempted murder. One by the king, and another by a British officer. He saw Bhakti Vinod Thakur as a threat, so he was planning to kill him. So, you know, the simple solution is don't be successful and you won't bother anybody. But if we do something, then some people are going to be bothered. And it may not be life-threatening, but so what do you take, Prabhupada was encouraging, we take those risks. We have to be clear what Krishna wants. And that means we have to be clear what Krishna's message is. And when we present it to others, then some people are going to like and some people are going to not like. Our methods should be very pure. And just a little sharing about book distribution. I received two or three days ago the number of sets of Srimad Bhagavatam that have been distributed in North America, U.S. and Canada during, you know, from the time I checked. It's from the time of Gaur Purnima until now, till the Bhadra Purnima. And it's 4,300 something. Worldwide, for Bhadra Purnima, it's 23,000. 23,000 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. 23,000 sets of Srimad, that, you know, that's, our acharyas are probably dancing. And that's just, you know, and it's gonna increase. But, you know, the atheists are certainly gonna react. Guaranteed. Because that's just how material existence is. We're prepared. Now, one of the things that we need is we need to read, not just distribute, and that's, you know, the next wave of service is reading groups and so many other things like that. And just as we heard last night, the family we visited, he's having a hard time finding people that want to sit in a reading group. He's getting some realization about, you know, the perils of Kali Yuga and how people, it's threatening to them, their lifestyle of whatever you want to describe it, we call it sense gratification. It's not inviting. So, back to Akura. He's meditating on the mercy that of Krishna that he has received that came through the mercy of Kamsa, which came because of his nice service. At least our acharyas are commenting. Because of his nice service to Kamsa, he's being merciful. He wasn't thinking of being merciful. Hey, you've earned some special reward. Let me give you a prize. You get to go see Krishna. So he wasn't thinking mercy in that way. But Krishna was using him as his agent of Krishna's mercy in that way. So that's our, in this age of Kali, it's troublesome time. And, you know, it's one wave or another wave of trouble. How to stay fixed in the midst of that trouble. You make the Krishna connection strong. Be eager for his mercy, and we're hearing one of the ways, principal ways of receiving his mercy. And expect that's gonna make some more waves. That's okay. Let's see if there's some discussion.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the class today. It was very deep. Actually, the content of the subject matter is very deep. It made me think about a couple of things today. First one is Kamsa. Kamsa is not Jaya and Vijaya's.
He's not what?
He's not Jaya and Vijaya, right? In that. So.
He's not there?
No. Let me rephrase my question. Okay, so Ravanasura and Kumbhakarna are Jaya and Vijaya in their past life.
Yeah.
And Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha But Kamsa is not coming from that path, right?
No.
It's different.
That's right.
So do we know what, who is Kamsa before in his...
Kalanemi.
Kalanemi.
Killed by Vishnu.
Another question is, when we are talking about Bhagavan and his forms, Vishnu, Narayan, four hand forms and two hand form. So, is it is right to think about, when we think about Bhagavan, it is Krishna. Right? So, not Vishnu, not Narayana.
They're also Bhagavan. They're expansions of the original. They're also Bhagavan.
But for us, we will...
That's devotion.
That devotion.
And it's also Siddhanta. But if so we're in a room and there's a number of candles. Mm-hmm. There's, it's not just the one that's the original candle, it's a candle. They're all candles. Mm. But one is the original candle. From which the others are lit. So they're all Bhagavan.
Well, when Goswamis were talking about the changes from two-hand form to four-hand form and then the disappearing from this, I got a little confused. So...
He was just dealing with, as far as I could capture, what the main message was, when Krishna, there's statements Krishna withdrew his form. So how to understand that? A wrong understanding is, the form was material after all. But even the Vishnu form is withdrawn. So it's not the form is material. It's just for the vision of others to see, they can see. Or he withdraws himself so they can no longer see. No, he doesn't make them blind. He just withdraws his form.
When Devaki gave birth, I mean, when Krishna appeared, he appeared as Vishnu, like four-armed form.
That's right.
But then she asked him to change to...
So he did.
Right. But in third chapter, first canto of all the incarnations, descriptions of all the incarnations, I remember Krishna was represented as Swayam Bhagavan avatar.
I'm listening. Keep going.
So he came down as Swayam Bhagavan.
Well, let's be clear. There's 1,000 yuga cycles mm-hmm. in each day of Brahma. And once in each day of Brahma, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna appears. Mm-hmm. And that leaves there's 999 other mm-hmm. yuga cycles mm-hmm. in a day of Brahma. But the Swayam Bhagavan Krishna appears mm-hmm. once out of 1,000 opportunities.
Now I have another question. So in the, every yuga there will be Krishna, I mean, there will be one.
Every yuga there's some yuga avatar.
Yuga avatar, okay.
Every yuga. Times 1,000.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj. There are two questions from Amrita Keli Mataji. First question. wanted to clarify my understanding on this terminology of rasas.
Of? Rasas.
Rasas. Okay. Are sthayi bhavas, sanchari bhavas, primary rasas the same?
Not exactly. Sthayi bhava becomes rasa when the sthayi bhava mixes with the other bhavas. They can be used interchangeably, but they only become rasa when there's mixing with the other bhavas. So it's also correct to say there's five primary rasas. Or it's also correct to say there are five sthayi bhavas. And one sense they can be used interchangeably, there is an important distinction between them.
And then are vyabhachari bhavas same as the secondary rasas?
Yes. There's a list of 33 vyabhachari bhavas that I've been mentioning, found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, describing Radharani. She has all of these 33 in full. So 33 is not the same number as 12. Last time I checked. So it's not identical, but there is certainly an overlap. Secondary rasa is not the same. Dhanadhara Maharaj will know the answer to this question, but the mixing of secondary rasas most likely results in vyabhachari bhavas.
Second question. Though Kamsa has evil intention, Akura is considering it as a favor. It looks like Kamsa is getting some Agyata Sukriti. With that and by the well-wishing of such a elevated devotee like Akura, could Kamsa get a chance to become a devotee if not for the Leela?
This question was asked in a different way, another time. But the essence, why did Ravana, he studied the Vedas and he had an exalted father, and there was lots of favorable circumstances. He had people advising him in good way. He had a really qualified brother in Vibhishan, and so could he have become a devotee? It's a similar question. Some persons are, using Prabhupada's phrase, dog obstinate. That nothing's going to move them. So, you can continuously say no. So the initial no that brings us to the world can just stay no. There has to be some voluntary acceptance. And some persons, such as Kamsa, there's no voluntary acceptance. He's incorrigible. So there's, the possibility is there, but incorrigible persons will say no, no matter what.
I just had a follow-up on that, Guru Maharaj. So if Agyata Sukriti is providing opportunity and possibility, but
well,
not...
Well, it's accumulation of Agyata Sukriti may result in someone saying yes instead of no. Yeah, it's free will.
This question is from Amara Mataji. Although Sri Akrura knows that how demoniac Kamsa is, but is it Krishna's love and anticipation of seeing him that his heart is so soft that he is able to see Kamsa as a carrier of Krishna's mercy?
Well, it's a soft heart, but it's also a fact. The commentary is one that says that the only way that one can get Krishna's mercy is through someone who is distributing Krishna's mercy. We don't go to Krishna directly. So Krishna is engaging Kamsa as an agent of his mercy. That's, the philosophical understanding. It's not necessarily that Akura is thinking that Kamsa has been is an instrument of Krishna's mercy. He's just saying he's been merciful to me. And the mercy is in the form of sending me to Krishna. You know, so obviously not intentional. Oh, go get Krishna's mercy. Go get Krishna, bring him here so we can kill him. But he's not thinking devotionally, obviously. Krishna is the source of all mercy. Go see him. He's not thinking like that. We're done. One more?
I'm starting to enroll in Bhakti Vaibhava, Module 1. So, is there any advice from you, Maharaj, like how to what? How I can keep up with the study.
How to do what?
How to keep up with the study.
What how is, to keep up with it?
Like how to...
Don't get lazy. Have a desire to connect with Krishna, then there'll be some taste, and it's not just time management, it's, you find time for the things that are important to you. Mm-hmm. You have a copy of the prayerful reading, right? Send her a copy. Do you have a copy? You don't? You don't have? Prayerful reading. I'll send you, you can make it available to your students. Okay? That will help. That gets the connection, the taste. Then you want to keep going.
Prabhupada ki jai.
What? One more. Okay.
This is from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. When we pray to Lord, for someone, although that someone may not be interested in the mercy of the Lord, will that person benefit?
Say it, read it again.
When we pray to the Lord for someone.
Sure, they could be, you know, your well wishes go to somebody. Sure. Not because, you know, you're, because of you, because of Krishna. He's kind to his devotee, and the devotee says, can you show your kindness to this person? Krishna hears.